Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Welcome to this live Saturday episode of the show. The number, should you wish to join us, is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Somebody who studies these things, we're going to find out here in a little bit, has said that over 4,000 banks and credit unions are in real bad shape.
No.
We'll get into that coming up here in
You're
a little
kidding
bit.
Me.
I'm not kidding you, but we'll find out more from Peakless Mountaineer. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Peakless Mountaineer.
And I did not leave my cocaine in the White House.
All right, good. We'll cross you off the list. Did you guys see the video?
Very, very long list.
Of Hunter Biden, allegedly, I guess it was like July 4th, so some sort of Independence Day fireworks or whatever. There was video of him up with the Bidens, right? Dad and Joe Biden and some kids or whatever. And he's like pinching his nose and going like putting his hand through his hair real like
scratching his
face.
Yeah,
he's like getting all kind of crazy.
And I think I tasted cinnamon and eggs.
People who know these things, I don't know a lot about cocaine, but the people who know a lot about cocaine said it looks like he was on cocaine.
Little crackhead moment. Behavior, yeah. Perhaps?
No.
Yeah. Can't imagine.
Yeah, well, we've already talked. We did discuss about the cocaine issue earlier this week, and suffice it to say, they are not going to prosecute Hunter Biden for
what,
the cocaine.
What would happen to any of us if some, you know, official person found a baggie of cocaine, like, in our house or in our
and
place
you'd be arrested
of business
immediately.
Or anything like that? Yeah, there would be a full investigation. Mm-hmm. Multiple agencies would be called in. Your local police would be all about, like, well, we discovered some narcotics today at your local blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. There'd be an article about it in your local rag.
They take a picture of themselves in front of the baggie on a table with, like, $2 that they found in your wallet, and then they share that on social media and act really proud of themselves.
Yeah. So why isn't that happening in the White Powder House?
It's almost like they're above the law.
Well, they did say the lady that's the spokesbureaucrat for the White House, she was being interviewed or being asked questions.
Did she wipe the white powder out from under her nose?
No,
before
she didn't.
She spoke?
But they asked her, if you identify who the culprit is, will there be charges filed? And she says, we're not going to speculate.
I think so, they already know.
Right. The answer wasn't yes, so therefore the answer is no.
Right.
So
right?
Here's what I'd like to know. Why on earth are we talking about this?
I don't know. Captain
like,
started it.
What? No, I mean, and I don't mean us three. Okay. No, I mean everyone. Like, number one, do you honestly think this is the first time that someone has found some drugs in the White House?
No, but they did report it, which makes it unusual. Why law enforcement came out with this press release or however it was revealed.
That might be worth talking about. Why are they reporting it?
Mm-hmm.
Could it be because they're attempting to distract us from important things?
Such as maybe. What else?
Well, gee, maybe a banking collapse, maybe the imminent threat of nuclear war, mm-hmm. you know, things that could matter, possibly. Oh, CBDCs, AI, you know.
Could be.
Species threatening.
One of the things that I've noticed about government, the organization,
mm-hmm.
and it's not just U.S. governments, it's global governments, is they kind of have to do the same thing that, like, pop stars do.
Hmm.
Take Madonna. Every, I don't know, 4, 8 years, something like that, she has to do something that's called reinventing herself.
Mm.
Right? And she's not the only artist to have done this. She's not the only actor or, you know, famous person to have done this. They what they do is they purposely talk to, like, their PR people, their agents or whatever, and they're like, how can we remain in the news? right? Remaining in the news is a top priority of any of these people, and governments do the exact same thing that these Hollywood people do. I don't know why, but they do it. And this is just one of those things. They're like, well, we got to make sure we're still in the news, or people will somehow forget. Though. Right. So their strategy is effective.
I don't know, man. The news is absolutely obsessed with politics. They're absolutely obsessed with what politicians do. I don't think that they
and Hollywood people too. Look at tabloids, right? So, like, I mean, there is a parallel to be drawn between these two entities.
Well, they have said that
celebrities and politicians definitely the same kind of an entity.
They've said that politics is Hollywood for ugly people.
Well, and part of it is that they both tend to be above the law.
Well, politics does have a homeliness problem.
Big time.
True.
Not a homeless problem. A homeliness problem.
Big time. Mm-hmm. Hey, did you ever see where they took the senators from the United States and they used AI or whatever and they took...
the amalgam?
Yeah, yeah. They took like all 100 senators. I think they did actually... Yeah, I think they did one for all 100 and then they did for like the 50 Republicans and the 50 Democrats and they just combined them all together into one face. And it is the most horrific, ugly, like movie monster, murderer kind of face that you could possibly imagine. Just absolutely horrifying.
I mean, this is what they do in commercials now. They try to find someone that is, I'm trying to remember the term for it, but it's basically race agnostic, right? Somebody who looks like every race.
Hmm.
You're like, is that girl... Asian? Is she white? Is she black? Is she brown? Is she, you know what I mean? Like what ethnicity is this person? And they'll try and find somebody that is like sort of an amalgam of all of the races so that it appeals to a much broader audience when advertising their product.
Mm. Wow, I did not know that, but there was something in the news that's related to that a few weeks ago by petapixel.com that Levi's Jeans, Levi Strauss & Company, is now working with a digital fashion studio called LaLaLand.ai to make AI-generated avatars in what it says will increase diversity amongst its models. So they're using artificial people to model their clothing now.
Yeah.
Is essentially what they're doing. So obviously the modeling industry is not happy about this happening because essentially human beings are going to lose these jobs.
What?
Yeah.
Humans losing jobs to AI?
Sorry, beautiful woman. You'll just have to start an OnlyFans or find some other way of
good
earning
luck with
money.
That right. Because there's so even before AI happened, and that's been going pretty heavy for about a year now.
Yeah.
But even before AI happened, the amount of people that had decided, I'm going to do an OnlyFans career. You know, there was already a ton of porn on the internet, and now everybody thinks they can do their own porn. And, like, I mean, there's just so much of this content, it drives the value of the average creator down to, like, pennies.
Right, and if you're just starting out, you feel like you've got to undercut everybody else, so you lower your prices because you're just getting started.
Yeah, I don't
there's always the Pareto principle on a thing like this.
What's that?
So the square root of the number of people doing a creative act, which, you know, whether it's business or music or OnlyFans in this case, the square root of the number of people doing that will be responsible for half of the content that's created. It's also known as the 80-20 rule because in like a good chunk of cases, it cuts down to 80% of people doing one half and 20% doing the other half.
80-20 is probably easier for most people to understand. Square roots, I don't know how many people have passed that math class.
Yeah, well, so like if there's 100 people working on a project, then 10 people are responsible for half of its production.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the other 90 people
that's a 90-10 rule.
I heard it different than that. I heard it not half. I heard that like the 80-20 rule is that 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work.
That could be it.
In the case of OnlyFans, according to one website, and I've seen similar claims elsewhere, the average content creator on OnlyFans only makes $150 to $180 per month, which also requires a lot of work. So this isn't just they're just dropping one nudie photo on there a month and getting $100. I don't know how much they have to create in order to get that level of compensation.
Yeah, I wonder what their daily interaction is. Is it daily? Is it multiple times a day?
That's a good question. And remember, the average is being brought up by the superstars or whatever who are making hundreds of thousands. The biggies are pushing that average up. So
kind of like
median?
Music.
Right? What's the median? What are half? Yeah. You know, so I don't know what those numbers are. Yeah, it's not very good.
And because of the nature of the Pareto principle, and this applies to all sorts of things. It applies to the size of stars. It applies to the size of cities. Like, just all sorts of things that, like, as it gets bigger faster. So that's why you have the vast majority of OnlyFans people making little or nothing, and then a handful of people who are like, oh, here's one of my farts for $50,000.
Right.
Yeah, my bathwater for $10,000.
Right. And people see that and they say, well, I'd rather do that than do whatever job I'm working at. And they try to jump in. But by that time, the market is already saturated with people who are doing the exact same thing. And even if you are a pretty lady or a handsome man, you've got a lot of other pretty ladies and handsome men in the world that are competing with you. So it is tough. And now you add to that AI-generated people.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. We just talked about how Levi's is bringing AI models into their business, and the same thing's happening on OnlyFans and these other sites where some dork in his basement who knows how to do Stable Diffusion AI graphics generation is able to cook up a character of, like, some pretty blonde girl that doesn't actually exist, that is essentially flawless because she's not real.
Yeah.
Tell her, you know, tell the AI, put her in a, you know, pink bikini, or she's on a beach, or wherever, right? Like, and it can do all of these things, and then they just have to act like they're the girl on the OnlyFans, hook up their bank account, and they can make.
It's kind of like
you don't need video.
Whatever.
It's kind of like
coming.
Those investigators from, like, what is it, where they try and catch the child predators online or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, when those guys don't have anything else to do, that's going to be their job. They're going to have to impersonate a pretty lady, shadow, you know, style on OnlyFans.
So that's happening. It's happening now.
Well, and in this particular case, it's even worse because the way that we're geared is to appreciate the average more than any actual example. And this is old, old research. This is before we had anything like AI to do the amalgamations.
When you say we appreciate the average,
yes.
What do you mean?
So they would get human beings. Yes. So they would get like a handful of pictures of, like, for example, people who had won the Miss Universe contest or something like that. So, like, the winners of some beauty contest or another, and have people judge the individual ones, and in the stack of ones that they were, you know, rating, they would have one who was an amalgamation of all of those faces. And always, every single time, that one would be rated higher than any of the other individuals.
I've heard it from the male perspective. So that is to say that the more attractive a woman is, the less she gets asked out. Because
People are intimidated.
Well, people are intimidated, and, you know, it's about attainability. Right. Mm-hmm. Men feel like the hotter the girl, the less attainable. Oh, she's with somebody, or she's above my, you know, my weight class, or
way
whatever.
Out of my
is,
league.
Right? Way out of my league, that kind of a thing. And so the majority of men will sort of regress towards the mean, right? The average, if you will, because the average girls seem, at least to them, more attainable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the thing with an OnlyFans thing is that that actually works better if they are perceived as beyond attainment, as some sort of higher tier human being. That's even better for OnlyFans.
If you want to comment, you're welcome to join us here. Let's go to the phones. We do have Frank on the line in Michigan here. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Frank.
Hey, guys. I want to talk about a little bit about Stefan Molyneux, and specifically his video, The Story of Your Enslavement.
Oh, I love that video.
Anybody see that?
Yeah, no, that's pre-cancer Molyneux, man. That's where he had the most impact, I think, particularly on bringing people out of the fog of statism.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I was hoping that you guys had seen it and were aware of it, because I think it perfectly explains the history of really humans and slavery and the current state of human enslavement with the tax structure and human cattle, as he calls them, and the farmers being, you know, the government people.
To see the farm is to leave the farm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and just a quick shout-out is the truth about insert historical figure, like Abraham Lincoln.
Mwah. Yeah, he's got a whole series of the truth about this, that, and the other thing, like insert, you know, the truth about blank.
He's got like a series of episodes.
I mean, a lot of those are not as good as some of the other ones, but the ones about the historical figures, Gandhi, Abraham Lincoln, are just incredible.
I got into Molyneux early on in the old YouTube days when YouTube was not owned by Google and would serve you up something relevant to what you just watched.
This was before they shut him down.
Yeah. Long before cancer and all that kind of thing. It was about the same time I started listening to Free Talk Live.
Pre-Trump Molyneux.
Yes, definitely. God. Definitely pre-Trump Molyneux.
Or as they call him now, Wallyneux.
Oh, no. Yeah. What happened to him?
Yeah. But, like, if you can go...
Trump derangement syndrome of a variety?
I don't know if it still exists, but he had some early YouTube videos. Like, he started out just doing these monologues in his car on his way home from work.
Right.
Right? And then he transitioned that into doing these... He had, like, an easel with, like, a paper version of a whiteboard with, like, paper he'd drawn, and then he'd flip the page when moving on from subject to subject. Mm-hmm. Some of those videos with the easel and like, the whiteboard kind of thing on it are some of the best explanations of anarchy I have ever seen in my life. I'll put him on the same level as I do, like, Larkin Rose with his ability to make very poignant analogies about anarchism and what it means and what the definition is and why it is a naturally occurring thing and why it is a human experience universally. Like, we are all anarchists most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can find, I don't know, like, how far back his YouTube library goes these days, but back in the day...
I think they took him off YouTube.
But back in the day, you used to be able to go 2, 3, 4 years back into his, you know, upload history and find some of these really, like, unique 30-minute bits. The video the caller's talking about, Frank, I believe is the caller's name, is, I think, universally heralded by anarchist people as, like, one of the great tools that we have to show to other people to get them to wake the
up. That's a good explainer, for sure. Yeah. No doubt about it. What else, Frank?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I tried to look for it on YouTube today. I haven't watched it in quite a long time, and I tried to look up Stefan Molyneux, and I guess I hadn't realized I haven't really been following him super close lately, but I didn't realize he was banned from YouTube, and it is on there under another channel.
So,
yeah, you can find it, but he's one of the great, I think, libertarian thinkers, and I looked up his Wikipedia page just to see what they had to say about him, and they just roundly trash him on Wikipedia. His bio is ridiculous. So I don't know if you feel like getting having some interesting reading, and check out his Wikipedia biography. And he's a white nationalist, and
he's written a series of books too. One of the ones that I read was called Universally Preferable Behavior. And it's basically like, how do you achieve a sense of morality without being religious, right? Without subscribing to, like, Christianity or Buddhism or something like that. And it turns out that most cultures on planet Earth, human cultures, recognize the same things. Don't hit people and don't take their stuff, right? They recognize those two things as being wrong, as being morally reprehensible, as being sort of against the tribe or against the culture. And so it's just a longer explanation of that. I'm paraphrasing, of course.
Did you say, Frank, that he is a white nationalist now?
No. That's what Wikipedia claims.
Okay, because... I
haven't seen any evidence of him being a white nationalist.
The closest Wikipedia. I've ever seen was he's what they call a race realist. He does talk frequently about the disparities in IQ between races.
Yeah, so that I have seen, and I was actually talking with Dennis Pratt from the Free State Project's Porcupine Freedom Festival, because he mentioned, I don't know if it was on the air or off the air, but he mentioned that they had invited Molyneux to come speak at the Porcupine Freedom Festival and that he couldn't make it or something like that. He's been in the past, back when he was, like, true anarchist Molyneux, he's spoken many times at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, but this year he had declined, or for whatever reason.
I heard that the reason he has sort of not been involved in the libertarian movement, quote-unquote, I'm using capital L here, possibly little L, is because he put forth some sort of data that he put together and said that, look, the only way to achieve anarchism is through a multi-generational process. So the number one thing we should be spending our time and resources on is educating the children on, you know, what the state is and what the state. And he received a bunch of backlash from libertarians like, well, that's not the only thing we should do.
Yeah.
And so because of this sort of disagreement in priorities, he was like, look, I told the libertarians what they need to do.
Have babies.
And
right.
Have babies and teach
such
them.
Such a lame
right. And
approach.
Like, you know, he feels like he was sort of shunned or like, you know, driven out of the libertarian community as a result of this sort of disagreement.
Well, I've definitely seen some of the clips of him talking about quote unquote race realism. I don't know if he uses that terminology. Maybe he does. I've not done an extensive amount of research into it, but it is really disappointing. Now, Dennis did provide me with a link to an episode where he clarifies his views on race, and then he kind of says all the right things, like, oh yeah, we always have to look at the individual, but then he goes on, you know, in other videos talking about groups and talking about IQ of groups and things like this. It's like, why are you focusing on this, whether it's true or not? If you're all about focusing on the individual, you seem to be mixing up your messages here, and you seem to be trying to appeal to a certain group. And I'll say this further, that people like Christopher Cantwell, who are very, you know, some of our listeners are very familiar. He's a former host on this program who became a white nationalist and became a racist, and we had to fire him from Free Talk Live over this. Cantwell was being influenced by Stefan Molyneux, and Cantwell was basically someone who would take whatever Stefan Molyneux said and go further, essentially. It's like, oh, well, this is working for Molyneux. I'll take it to the extreme.
Well, I can definitely say one reason why that is actually valuable. So there are a lot of people who believe that the success of Jews is due to a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he, on the other hand, points out, no. If you look at this, they are about one, Ashkenazi Jews specifically, as a racial group, are about one standard deviation higher in IQ than average. So, and the thing about, like, that kind of a shift, the numbers on the tail ends are going to be way, way different. So you're going to end up with the extremely high IQ people of the Ashkenazi are significantly higher on average than those of any other group. Therefore, a really, really high IQ set of people being extremely successful is actually not that surprising and does not require any kind of conspiracy.
I think, and I feel, I'm one of them, but I feel like Molyneux lost a significant chunk of his, I don't know, fan base, whatever you want to call it, his listenership, readership, whatever it is, post-cancer. Like, he got the cancer, he had to come to the United States, he's Canadian, but he had to come to the U.S. to get his treatment because the Canadian healthcare system wouldn't give him what he wanted.
Nice socialized medicine.
Yeah, and so he came to the U.S., he got his treatment, and then he continued doing his podcast and his writings, but there was a change, and I think everybody who was a fan of him before cancer noticed the change. Now, some people just went along and were like, well, you know, he's back, and so I'm a fan, but, like, I noticed a change in, like, not only his writing style, but, like, his topics. He also did appear on some, I don't know what you want to call them, podcast streams or whatever, that had supposed white nationalists on them, right? People I was not familiar with, but he would go on and, you know, have a talk show.
And was this before he went pro-Trump?
Post-cancer, during the whole going pro-Trump thing.
Thanks for the call, Frank. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can join the show here. You can bring up whatever you want. Coming up, we'll talk about people getting naked. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
USA News update. Six people are dead after a plane crashed early this morning in a field near the French Valley Airport in Murrieta, California. The FAA says the Cessna 550 crashed and burst into flames. That plane had taken off from Harry Reid International Airport in Las Vegas. The Biden administration will provide cluster munitions to Ukraine in its fight against Russia.
We will not leave Ukraine defenseless at any point in this conflict, period.
White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan defended the move. The bombs are controversial as they explode, sending multiple munitions over a wide area. Tyler Bench, a January 6th Capitol building rioter who used bear spray, has received a lenient sentence from a U.S. district judge. The Trump-appointed judge sentenced Bench to probation and 60 days of home arrest. Prosecutors had sought a 9-month federal prison term. During the sentencing, Judge Trevor McFadden said he was giving him a break. John Schaefer, USA News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show here. Live Saturday edition. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And you can join us online anytime you want. Just head over to freetalklive.com. You'll find a variety of features there. And Free Talk Live in this hour is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Last year, Dash launched a killer app. At least, so I understand. I'm not allowed to use any cryptocurrency under my bail conditions, but Captain, you have used Dash Direct.
As have I?
Yeah. I am Pickless. I did not know.
I used it today, as a matter of fact, and I want to give a pro tip to people. So I was at a, I'm not going to name it, I was at a chain restaurant, and I'm on their Wi-Fi. Now, different restaurants will have different security measures on their Wi-Fi. So I was what they call naked. I was just on their Wi-Fi, no VPN or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I tried to do the transaction, and when it got to the part where you actually pay the Dash to create the gift card for the restaurant that you're at, it failed. Mm. And it wasn't until I either, A, got off of the chain restaurant Wi-Fi and onto my own data plan, or B, fired up a VPN that it worked.
So something's going on with these chain Wi-Fi.
Somebody, you know, they've got some sort of security thing going on, and if they see traffic that's like, you know, I don't know, related to cryptocurrency or something, somewhere, somehow, it's on a list for some of these chains where that's not a secure internet thing. And so,
nope, that's just on. Stop it.
Yeah, and it's just like, really, are we at this point now? So I happen to have a VPN that I can use on my device, and so I did that, and boom, no problem. So pro tip for all you Dash Direct users out there, if you're going to use this thing on demand the way I do, right, you might want to have a VPN or have a data plan on your device, because some of these places have their security locked down in such a way that it'll prevent you from creating the gift card on demand. Now, if you're just at home and you're planning on going out to like one of these chains, and you're like, yeah, I think I'm going to spend $100, right? You can go on the app and like create a $100 gift card and then take that with you so you don't have to be on the Wi-Fi, right? You can use it in a different way. I just enjoy using it on demand because I can create the gift card for the exact amount. Dollar figure of the transaction.
It's cool. It allows you to spend Dash at over 155,000 locations around the United States. We're talking major brands that people are familiar with.
Yeah.
And the best part about it is you get a discount for paying with Dash. Now, the discount can range. It could be a large range. It could be like less than 1% in some cases. A lot of them are 4 to 6% from what I've seen, and some are as high as 7 to 9%. So it just depends on the company, depends on the discount that they want to offer. But this gives you an actual incentive to spend your cryptocurrency instead of just holding on to it forever and just hoping that it goes up. The whole point of this concept, at least according to Satoshi Nakamoto, was to be peer-to-peer electronic cash, and Dash is something that has held on to that vision for almost a decade now. It is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies out there, and it's widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get. It's easy to use Dash. You can start by learning more at Dash.org. The Dash Direct app, by the way, is available on your Apple or Android app stores. You can just go and grab that. But again, get started at Dash.org, and thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That's Dash.org. Let's go to the phones. Jack is on the line in Florida. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Jack. Jack in Florida, going once. Jack in Florida, going twice. Jack had wanted to talk about Cell 411, which I'm just going to go ahead and mention it right now. It is or was a very handy program that allowed individuals to form what are called cells that are your friends or family members or coworkers or whoever, neighbors. You can have different cells. You can have a cell for your friends and cell for your neighbors or whatever. And if something is happening in your life that is bad, usually. It's usually bad things is when you want to pull out cell 411. So could be a health emergency, could be a fire, could be police pulling you over. It could be a variety of different things. Cell 411 would allow you to send out an alert to whatever cells you wanted to know about what was happening to you, in which case your friends or family or neighbors could actually respond to whatever the issue was, rather than men with guns who might show up and possibly kill you, burn your house down, or shoot your dog, these strangers known as the government police, for instance. So the idea was that it would be an emergency response app, but more decentralized. Instead of using 911, it would rely on people that actually care about you, the people that know you.
And might I say, brilliant idea.
It really was a brilliant idea, and for many years, it was something that activists relied upon whenever something would happen with, say, the police pulling you over or something else bad. It was nice to be able to have people who actually wanted to hold the police accountable show up at the scene to observe and potentially change how the outcome of the pullover was going to go. And I've seen that happen on more than one occasion. It's a very, very useful app. It had been used widely here in New Hampshire. Other people in other countries had used this as well to respond to various different sort of criminal activity by normal criminals, not just the police. And so very, very handy app. Unfortunately, what happened to Cell 411 is the creator of that app, who was a Free Talk Live listener, and I think he was a free stater. He certainly came to Porkfest a lot. He came down on some hard personal times. He, you know, his wife was divorcing him, right? So, like, that kind of threw him for a loop, and he wasn't able to focus on the app's development. It kind of fell to the wayside. And unfortunately, what happens with these apps is you got to keep it up. Unfortunately, even though the app was working when he kind of abandoned ship, they keep changing like whatever APIs or systems or I don't know how to, I'm not a programmer, so I can't describe it, but you know, like the guts of Android keeps changing. And so you have to keep updating these apps in order to kind of keep up with the Joneses and keep your app in a functional capacity. And that just wasn't being done, for roughly 2 years. So when the creator of the app contacted, me and the Shire Free Church and said, hey, you know, I'm in bad shape. If you want to save this thing, then here's what you got to do. And we had to put up some money to pay off his programmers and got it done. And we got the source code to sell 411. And nobody, who's our sometime co-host here on Free Talk Live, wanted to take the reins. And he's an old school programmer who's done a lot of programming in the past. He has been, he's a little rusty. He hasn't been doing much programming up until this point, but he took it over and he learned Android coding and he got in there and really cranked away on this for the last couple of years. Unfortunately, he's been getting burned out on it. It's not a one-man task. It used to have two Indian guys programming the thing at one time. So he's been asking for help. And I just put it out there in a big way because he was getting pretty frustrated a couple weeks ago on this. And luckily, some people have stepped in who seem to be interested in helping. I don't know how much help they've given yet. I don't know where things stand, but I hope that at some point we can see Cell 411 come back to existence, number one, and then hopefully some semblance of prominence and use, because right now it is essentially completely broken. So if you find that is a cool sounding concept, you know, if you're out there listening to this and you are a programmer type and you know how to program for Android or Apple and you want to assist with this, it's an open source project now, which was my main concern with Cell 411 before was the other guy that was the original creator of it. He believed that it should not be open source, that it was his idea and, you know, his code, and some people are that way. And so the thing that we did first was we open sourced the code. So now anybody can contribute to this. Anyone can fork the code. They can start their own project or whatever. Not that there seems like a big demand for that, but it is there now. And people who want to help with Cell 411, go to getcell411.com. That's the same old website. I've taken down the main front page. The old front page used to just kind of pitch Cell 411. You're like, here's what it does. Now it's like, we need help. Here's how you can help. There's a video there that'll show you sort of the way it used to be, the way Cell 411 worked. It's Pete Ayer from copblock.org doing like a 6-minute, basically in-depth walkthrough of exactly all the cool features of Cell 411. It's like, this could exist again. You know, we still have the code for it. It's just we need to have people who know what they're doing working on this project. And
yeah, and just a couple of things about that. So I've used it. I've even used it in a potentially dangerous scenario, and it was really, really nice because, like, there were a couple of guys chasing this one lady and, like, not letting her into her car, and I, you know, got their attention long enough for her to get in and drive off, and then they start walking up towards me, you know, popped a little thing on my cell 411 saying there's a dangerous situation. Fortunately, I was able to, calm things down and get them to go away.
That's
but, within a couple of minutes, someone who I, and this was very, very shortly after I'd gotten to the Free State, was on the scene, ready to help out with a situation.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and another time, I'd managed to get locked out of my car and hit that, and again had someone show up. I mean, this really is the technology for the answer to the question: well, what are you going to do without police? And it was amazing to see that.
Turns out, people want to help.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and you have options here, right? So you can send it out to all of your friends, or if you are paying for a security company, or heck, maybe you have a couple of security companies, you can pick which cell you want to send this to. And be like, you know what, I'm going to try out the new security company for this particular thing, see how they respond.
And it emphasizes, as an app, it emphasizes the importance of community.
Right.
Coming from the West Coast, tsunamis, earthquakes, right? That's, natural disasters. Like, I can see Cell 411 being of absolute immense value in those situations, far more than police are ever going to be, because you get to pick your own trustees, right?
Yep.
These are your cells, right? You get to pick them yourself. So you know who's going to respond. And also, like, if something happens, you're like, well, has anybody seen Bob? No, I haven't seen Bob or I haven't heard from him. You know, well, we know this happened, so let's go find Bob, you know, that kind of a thing. The other thing I want to say is I did get pulled over in the first year that I moved here in 2019, leaving this studio, and it was cumbersome AF to, like, unlock my phone, launch the, you know, whatever chat app du jour we were all using at the time, figure out which room to go to, and then go, hey, I'm getting pulled over at the corner of blah and blah.
Yeah.
Right? And by the time anybody even responded, the whole thing was over. Now, it turns out they were pulling me over for a, I had a headlight out or whatever, right? But, you know, it was a whole ordeal just to get to a point where I could actually tell a group of people who might even care. I don't even know, like, what was happening to me. And so by the time anybody responded, I was like, it's all clear. It's over. Thanks, you know, for your concern. So, like, Cell 411 definitely would have been a much superior app in that particular situation.
Yeah, just a couple of button presses, and it already
you
shows
can program
your location.
It. My understanding is any app you can program with, like, a finger swipe if you have the fingerprint reader, or you can do a voice rec thing if you want to. There's all sorts of fun things you can do with these smartphones to launch it instantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my favorite feature on it was the video share. So you could have just a live video of what was going on, and it's like, wow, you want to talk about accountability.
Yep.
Like, all of a sudden, you don't know how many people are watching this right now, and I don't have to worry about gatekeepers like YouTube keeping me out of it. No, it's just my cell has access to this video data. They will continue to have it, but they're able to watch it right now, too.
And that, if my understanding was that Cell 411 would broadcast that video to the cloud in such a way that even if your device was taken away from you by, quote, the authorities, unquote, that video still exists in the cloud for everyone else to see, and there's oops, we accidentally lost your phone, we don't know where the footage went, or, oh, it was destroyed in the evidence locker.
I don't know what happened to that incriminating evidence on the police force.
Exactly. So if you are of the programming mindset and this sounds like a cool idea,
you're an app developer, go take a look.
Yeah, I'm sure nobody would really appreciate somebody stepping up here and going to getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com. You'll find the links to the chat rooms. There's one Matrix and one Telegram. I believe they're both linked together. So if you just have a preference, you join whichever one you prefer. And you'll be able to reach nobodies in there pretty regularly now nowadays. And the other programmers that seem to be showing an interest in this, hopefully somebody can, like, herd the cats and, you know, make something happen here. I really would be ashamed to see this, you know, go by the wayside for more than half a decade, which is what it's basically coming up on at this point. So let's continue here. Skeeter is in California. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Skeeter.
Yo, I originally called in to understand and criticize the libertarian strategy of secession.
Shocking.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
Oh, shocking. But I heard you guys. Oh, but first I heard you guys talking about Molyneux, and you reminded me even something more of something I really hate about libertarianism. It's the people you libertarians respect and worship for their theory, but all they do is give you fallacy on which to build upon. Like, did you know, like those people like Molyneux and Hans Hermann Hoppe, you know their life's work is just a big fallacy?
What do you mean?
I don't think you know what a fallacy is.
Yeah, it's a false notion. So
their life's work is a false notion.
Yeah. So their life's work, well, they're, you know, their magnum opus, so which is pretty much the same thing.
No, your magnum opus is your single greatest work, whereas your life's work is all of the things that you've done.
I'm not going to say magnum opus. I'm just trying to talk about UPB and argumentation ethics, right?
UPB is universally preferable behavior.
Okay. I think,
well, first of all, I think our listeners would have to know what that is to understand what it is that ever it is you want to say about it.
I think Skyler's got his radio on in the background again.
No, it's just his phone sucks. And whatever it is that we talk, it's noisy, so I have to turn him down, essentially. Some sort of feedback.
A lot of background noise when he recalls.
Yeah, no, I think it's something about his phone. I don't think it's anything in the actual background. So what is universal preferable behavior?
Scooter, take a step.
So my volume back on?
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, you know, both Hansram and Hoppe and Molyneux, they set out to prove logically that self-ownership is true. And they both fell flat on their face for the same reason. What was that?
Hansram and Hoppe definitely set out to prove that. Stéphane Molyneux set out to prove with universally preferable behavior was that consistent morality was possible without any trace of religion.
Well, I contend that nap and rights are a form of religion. But
the nap is the non-aggression principle. Let's try to stay away from using acronyms, please.
Okay. But besides that, in his book UPB, he also did the same fallacious proof, where they both set out to logically prove. I don't know if he said it, but in there he used the same proof, and he claims like he did it independently, but it doesn't matter because they're both.
I think this would be a more interesting conversation, maybe for Beard Talk Live. I don't think most people are familiar with Molyneux's work. I'm certainly not familiar with his work. I've not read any of his books, so I can't really comment on it. It seems like Captain and Peekless have, but I'd really rather hear your critiques of secession, since that seems like a little more relevant to a general audience.
Yeah, sure. So just before I start, go over your strategy. So I just know I'm criticizing the right strategy. What do you guys plan to do with, I think it's the whole state of New Hampshire?
To secede from the United States federal government.
There's been a proposal that would allow the people of New Hampshire to vote on a constitutional amendment that would declare peaceful independence from the federal government.
So you're going to like something like vote and invoke states' rights and then remove yourself from the union, right? Something like that.
I don't know if states' rights has been bandied about or anything like that, but yeah, it would essentially, the people of New Hampshire, if they agree in two-thirds of a majority, you know, so 67%, would be able to declare their independence in the same way that their predecessors declared their independence and then go their own peaceful way and do their own thing without any kind of alliance necessarily with the federal government.
So after that, you'd be able to withdraw your the taxes you guys normally pay, keep that, and stay in New Hampshire and just do whatever freedom lovers do, right?
Yeah, I'd say that sounds about right, yeah.
I mean, people tend not to pay taxes to countries that they're not part of.
Right, you would also not have to obey their stupid diktats and support their wars or obey their ridiculous regulations and their, you know, Nazi agencies or whatever. So, yeah, all that stuff would be gone and we would have freedom from that.
Yeah, so okay, so there are at least two things wrong I can think of right now. And they're both... it makes you look hypocritical. So number one, it's funny you talk about like I think two-thirds majority, and I heard you guys use the analogy of democracy as two wolves and a sheep. Which is
yes, two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner.
That is democracy. Yeah, exactly.
So what do you plan to do with the one-third that disagree that want to stay with the state?
They will be welcome to leave.
They can do whatever they want to do. I mean, they can stay.
They'll be welcome to stay or leave. They, to them. They would be free to choose.
Yeah, they could move to Massachusetts or move to Florida or New York or whatever. Or they can stay here and they would still be U.S. citizens. They would essentially be U.S. citizens living in another country.
The answer to Scooter's question is they would be free to decide for themselves for the first time what they want to do. We wouldn't do anything with that one-third of people. We wouldn't do anything. We would not handle them in any way. We would, in fact, get the heck out of their way and let them live their lives.
Yeah, they could still pay income tax if they wanted to continue paying income tax. They could continue living here, or they could move somewhere else. It's up to them.
So the problem is those people are status. They love the state. And
we welcome them to move to other statists.
Why is that such a problem?
Because... they might want the state in their lives. So let's say they're your neighbor there, wants the state in his life. So I don't know how your roads would work, but what if, so he wants state protection, let's say.
Uh-huh.
So that means he'll allow the state back into, like, his area.
Okay, you do know that when New Hampshire secedes from the United States, that the state of New Hampshire isn't going to just disappear, right? Like, we're only talking about getting rid of the top level of evil government. The state level evil government will still exist. So they'll still have
municipal governments.
Yes, so they'll still have the state police. They'll still have the local police. They'll still have the county sheriffs. They'll still have plenty of quote-unquote protection from their precious state. They just won't have the FBI or the ATF or whatever other
IRS,
the U.S. military, whatever federal agencies that they might want. And if that's what they want, then they can just move a few miles south and move into Massachusetts, where they'll feel much more at home with their fellow status.
It's good you brought that up, because it's into the second thing of why I think you guys are hypocritical. So the thing I was talking about...
Well, you haven't pointed out one point of hypocrisy at all at this point.
You shouldn't interrupt me, and I said it. The thing I'm talking about is national defense when I talk about protection. So this guy, your neighbor here, wants national defense. How?
Okay, they have something called the National Guard or the State Guard. So, and, you know, they can have militias. We can have all kinds of organizations of people to provide defense for one another. We do not need to have some massive world, you know, invading, hegemonic military as we currently do
empire.
Today. Yeah, this empire with, you know, 1,000 military bases all around the planet. Is that what you want, Skeeter?
I was trying to formulate my next, I wasn't listening to it, but...
Okay, well, have a nice night. The number here is 603. If you can't listen to what somebody is saying,
it's not a conversation.
Then you're not having a conversation. If all you're doing is you're thinking about, what am I going to say next? Ooh, what am I going to say when he stops talking? Then you're not listening, and if you aren't listening, you cannot possibly understand the other person's point. That means you're just on the air to spout off some points and try to look smart, which that's up to our listener to decide what they think about you.
Yeah. I actually lost a couple of, you know, respect points there for Skeeter.
Skyler, I lost a lot of that Scooter, a long time ago.
Whatever the heck his name is, because he brought up Marauds. Like, really? This is one of the most elementary ideas that, you know, that libertarianism or anarchism can totally prove, can be handled. I can prove it here right now. There's a network called the Internet. And this handles traffic going in all directions at all times, 24/7, and it does it nearly flawlessly, right? If you think that people can't figure out how to manage a flat thing with some wheeled vehicles on it, you got another thing coming.
Well, and the fundamental belief is that coordination is impossible without coercion. People simply do not believe that complex coordination in multiple geographic locations is possible unless you put a gun to people's head or tell them that you're going to unless they do what you tell
it's
you.
It's totally possible. I had people from the Seattle, Washington area play drums on my EP that I just released on July 4th, and I'm here in New Hampshire. So that's coordination across geographic locations, diverse. It happened. It's done.
The roads issue has been discussed ad infinitum. It has been researched.
I'd say go to Mises.com. .org if you want to investigate some of that stuff. They do great work there.
Indeed. For somebody who claims to be so educated, I'm shocked that he would even bring that one up. More coming up.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.